Welcome to episode 347 of the 200 Churches Podcast. So you're a pastor, and when you started this in October, did you see yourself actually being a health coach to other people?
No, golly. as a matter of fact, I remember when I first started on this, you know, of course, you were my health coach. And I remember thinking, yeah, that's just not my gig. I had no desire to. At that point in my life, I wasn't sure there was any hope for me, let alone other people. So, you know, that was the furthest thing from my mind. But, you know, again, looking back, man, I'm telling you, there's hope. There absolutely is hope. I mean, if I can do this, anybody can do this.
Welcome to the 200 Churches Podcast. We produce a legit episode of ministry encouragement for pastors of small churches. Now, here are two guys who have been encouraging thousands of pastors all around the world, good friends, pastors, and podcast partners, Jeff and Johnny.
This is the 200 Churches Podcast. My name is Jeff Cady. I'm here in the virtual reality studio with my good friend and tonight's podcast partner,
Lyle Parker.
Lyle, welcome to the 200 Churches Podcast.
Thanks, Jeff. It is wonderful to be here. I'm excited to talk with you tonight.
Yeah, so you and I were messaging back and forth today, and I had a suggestion for you to start a podcast and call it the 200 Pounds Podcast, because you said that there's something about 200 pounds in you and your family or something. You want to share that? We'll hit this right at the front end.
Absolutely, yeah. So my journey with getting healthy started in October, at the very end of October. It was because of your podcast that I heard, you know, about what you'd gone through, and you introduced me to the program, and that really kind of jump-started me into wanting something different for my own life. And my main motivation was my 16-year-old son. You know, he had gained a lot of weight and, you know, was going down the same path that I'd went down, and I didn't want that for him. It broke my heart every time I looked at him. And then I thought, you know, what kind of example am I setting as a parent to my own kids, you know, let alone as the fat pastor, you know? So that's when I started on the journey, and he noticed such a dramatic weight loss in me and a change in my lifestyle and everything that he decided he wanted to jump on board too. So he jumped on board in January. Then my wife jumped on board. And then my oldest son, who was in college when he had to come home for this all this COVID mess, he decided he wanted to jump on board too. So he's been on it now for a little over a month, and he's already dropped 30 pounds.
30 pounds?
Yeah. So collectively, I calculated it up today, and as a family, the four of us have lost, since October, 210 pounds.
You've lost a pretty good-sized family member right there.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, it was pretty
amazing.
Crazy.
That's amazing. And I always want to ask this question. Was it hard? Was it really hard to do?
No, honestly, this is one of those, you know, and I've done stuff to lose weight before, and it was always, I always had to keep track of a whole lot of stuff, whether it's counting calories or counting points or, you know, whatever the case may be with these different programs that are out there, and I'm not knocking any one of them. This just happened to be the one that clicked for me. And it was so simple to do, just with the way that you eat and putting healthy habits in place to really change everything. And the biggest thing that I've noticed is, you know, it's really had an impact not only on my physical health, but that, you know, plays over into everything else, emotionally, spiritually, whole nine yards.
Yeah, and you said that you were dealing, before you started this, in the last, I don't know, couple years maybe, that you've had to deal with depression at different times in your life, and some of it was related, you know, to your weight. And I've never dealt with depression or anxiety And it's just simply, it's just my DNA, right? It's just the way I'm wired, because there are times when I say to myself, boy, why aren't I depressed? I should be a depressed or anxious right now. And I'm just not wired that way. But I was as a person, often dissatisfied and frustrated with my inability to get it together physically and with my health, you know, and just fitness level. And that really dragged me down. So talk for a minute just about that. You know, you said you had depression. What was that like for you?
So for me, it wasn't like a clinical depression where I'd been officially diagnosed or anything like that. But and looking back, you know, hindsight's always 20/20. Looking mm-hmm. back, I can honestly say it was more than likely because of the junk that I was putting in my body that was affecting my body chemistry, because I'm not that way anymore. No doubt, you know, some of it played into, you know, the fact that I knew I was overweight and frustrated that I, you know, that my knees hurt. And all that. I mean, that was certainly a factor, but...
Your knees hurt.
Oh, gosh, yes. It had gotten to the point to where I couldn't, especially in the mornings, but, you know, when you first wake up and your joints really aren't awake yet. And, you know, I'd come down the stairs. I got a lot of stairs in my house. And I'd come down the stairs. I'd have to come down the stairs one at a time, because I couldn't walk downstairs normally, because it just...
Do you come down one at a time now?
No. Oh, my gosh, no. I spring up and down. I'm like, it's nothing.
Do your knees bother you?
I can run up the stairs now and skip a step every time. It doesn't bother me at all.
Your knees don't bother you anymore?
Oh, no. No, not at all. And my... it got to the point where my left heel... I think it was where my Achilles tendon attached to my, you know, heel bone. I couldn't stand for more than... you know, a half an hour before my left heel started just killing me. Especially was as bad when, you know, on Sundays, because, you know, we get up on stage and we have to preach, you know, and if by the time I was done preaching and, you know, standing up there, you know, leading worship and all this kind of stuff for an hour, by the time I tried to come off stage, it was excruciating. You know, I didn't know if it was like a result of plantar fasciitis or... you know, I really wasn't sure if it was attributed to my weight or not. Now I'm quite positive that it was attributed to my weight, because it doesn't hurt anymore. Not even in the slightest. So, you know, all the extra weight that I was carrying around, golly, it wreaked havoc on my body. The human body is not meant for that. So,
how heavy were you, you know, back in September, October?
I started out about 293.
Pushing 300.
Yeah, pushing 300 easy. I sent you a picture earlier of myself and my wife. That was actually taken on our 20th anniversary cruise this past summer that we did. And,
okay.
So I was you know, about 293 then.
Well, man, good thing you got that cruise in. Got all that eating out of the way then.
Well, it's funny because we've actually got another one planned for next year. Once we went on one cruise, we were kind of hooked. So we've got another one planned for next summer, and we're looking forward to going on that boat a lot skinnier than we were the last time. So
yeah, so 293, and where are you at right now?
I weighed myself this morning, as a matter of fact, and I was 216.
Okay, 216. So what is that? 77 pounds?
70? Yep.
It's a lot.
Yes,
that's a lot.
Yeah, just since the end of October.
Okay, then quickly. You're happy that you started in October, right?
Yeah, and this is one of those things I knew was going to be a challenge through the holidays. I'm not the kind of a person that once I start something, man, I'm committed to it. I have to do it right. I'm a perfectionist, you know, in those aspects. So I knew that if I was going to start it, I was going to fight on through holidays, and I did. We went down to my mom's for Thanksgiving, and you know, while everybody else had mashed potatoes, I had mashed cauliflower. So
yeah, and it wasn't as hard as you thought it might be, was it?
No, not at all.
Really not. It's a mindset thing.
It is. You know, it's most of it, honestly, is just it's a sheer determination of deciding that I am tired of being unhealthy. You know, I am tired of being the person that I am. I have to change.
You don't need to reveal. So 77, 210, there's 140 pounds left over to be lost by your family members.
Yes.
35 or so.
No, I'll go ahead and tell you. I'll go ahead and tell you. My wife is down about 50.
Okay.
49, I think, is what it was this morning. She's down 49.
Yeah, you shouldn't have said that. You should have just said 50. Now she's going to be mad.
She's the one that said 49, so that's not on me.
Okay.
She's down 49. My youngest son is down 57.
Wow.
And again, like I said, my oldest son, he just started a little over a month ago, and he's down 30.
That's incredible. That's incredible. Your family is so much the better. And it's great that you did it as a family, because now when you're making choices for eating out, well, of course, you know, who's been eating out lately, right, with the pandemic. But when you do that, you know, you make food choices, it's so much easier when the whole family is in on the joke, so to speak.
Well, and that's what's made it a little bit easier too, is, you know, they, again, I think especially me being dad, you know, I had to take the leadership role in getting this done for my family. And with them seeing me committed to it and wanting to get it done, and, you know, the results of my hard work, that, you know, that motivated them. And I can't tell you how much, you know, I'm thankful that my kids and, you know, my whole family has jumped on board with getting healthy and understanding that really does make a difference in your life. You know, my youngest son, you know, like I said, he's 16 and he feels so much better. He's excited now to, you know, put on clothing that's now too big for him. You know, he's already gone down a size in clothing, and, you know, that excites him. And, you know, he sees a difference in himself. And that's, you know, as a dad, what greater gift can you have than to see your own kids?
And at age 16, what a great time. One of my kids at age 15 lost a whole bunch of weight. And I remember thinking what a great age to do that, you know, because you're just in that high school mode and you're getting ready to go to college and you're learning about health and fitness. And that's just, that's great timing for him. Lyle, you had people around you that saw the difference, and you decided you were going to start helping other people. So tell us about that. How has that gone? I don't know a whole lot of that story, so fill me in on that.
Yeah. So, you know, I found myself having a ton of conversations all the time. Every time I'd post something on social media about, hey, I've lost another 10 pounds or whatever, you know, I'd always get messages and people were asking me, hey, how are you doing this? What's your secret? All that kind of stuff. And, you know, I thought, you know, if I'm having these conversations anyway and telling people, you know, what I'm doing, why not really just jump in and help other people do the same thing that I'm doing? So that's what I did. You know, I decided to dive in and help as many people as I can, you know. And right now I've got about six that I'm coaching right now. I actually just had a conversation tonight with another buddy of mine who lives in Arizona that wants to have a conversation about what he needs to do. So the Lord has provided people that can benefit from my own experience, and that's a great, you know, it's a great feeling to be able to help out.
So you're a pastor, and when you started this in October, did you see yourself actually being a health coach to other people?
No, golly. as a matter of fact, I remember when I first started on this, you know, of course you were my health coach, and I remember thinking, yeah, that's just not my gig. I had no desire to. At that point in my life, I wasn't sure there was any hope for me, let alone other people. So, you know, that was the furthest thing from my mind. But, you know, again, looking back, man, I'm telling you, there's hope. There absolutely is hope. I mean, if I can do this, anybody can do this.
Yeah, but Lyle, you know, you've got this kind of a gruff voice. You said that once you start something, you finish it. You're just different than me. You don't understand my situation. You know, I'm like addicted to food and I just can't seem to win over it. You know, you're a better man.
Let me tell you something about being addicted to food. My typical meal at McDonald's was a 20-piece nugget and a basket of fries. and I would eat that in one sitting. So you want to talk about being addicted to food. I'm the poster child for what that looked like. Okay.
Could you throw in a Big Mac with that?
If I was feeling froggy, yeah, I could.
I could. You know, something about McDonald's food, man. You can't, you know, once you pop, you can't stop.
Well, here's something I've noticed on the flip side of the coin, though. And this is kind of a mantra I have. I don't know whether I heard it somewhere or whether I just made it up. I don't know. But what I've come to determine is whatever you put in your body, you're going to crave more of. So if you put unhealthy stuff in your body, you're going to crave more of that. Flip side, if you're going to put healthy stuff in your body, you're going to find that your body is going to adjust that to that, and you're going to crave more of that. I know it sounds weird. It sounds counterintuitive, but it absolutely is true.
I have a lot of sympathy for people that are struggling with food because I did for decades. And I remember thinking, I would hear that, and I would think, oh, come on. Nobody has ever in their life craved a carrot. Nobody has ever craved an apple, you know, and these kinds of things. And yet what I experienced, Lyle, actually is the exact same thing. And right now, because of the pandemic and because everything got shut down, I am grieving the best salad bar that we've ever known anywhere we've ever lived. And that's just a couple of miles from me at our local large grocery store. They put out the salad bar, and just about 3 months before everything got shut down, they upped their game with the salad bar. They added $2 to it. You had to pay, instead of $6.99, it was $8.99. But they had everything. Fresh, delicious, I mean, all kinds of, from olives to berries to melons to all kinds, all the vegetables. I mean, they had everything. I would literally crave the salad bar. I mean, I wanted to put all that fresh food on my plate. And to think of a burger and fries and, you know, deep fried stuff and all this other stuff, it was the furthest thing from my mind. I craved the good stuff.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
It's been tough not having that salad bar, because my wife and I would eat there once a week. I would eat there often one or two more times, maybe three more times in the week, mm-hmm. with my son or with somebody from church for a lunch meeting. You know, I did. So this whole idea of craving good food, pastor or listener, if you're listening and you're thinking, oh, yeah, there's no way. You can't crave it. It really is true. So Lyle and I will stake our pastoral ministries and our reputations as pastors and men on that you actually can crave good food. And most important, Lyle, you can also lose the craving for bad food, right?
Yes.
That can go away.
And that's something that has really been a blessing, you know, in our family. Funny story, my wife went to the grocery store the other day, and of course they're practicing all the social distancing and all that kind of stuff going on. And, you know, normally people just breeze right through the produce. Well, we're not. I mean, she filled up the whole bottom of the cart with fresh produce, and there was a line developing behind her because she was taking her time grabbing all these fresh produce items, and everybody was behind her waiting on her to get done. So it was pretty funny, yeah. Story.
Well, do you find that basically you're shopping in the grocery store is the produce department and the meat department?
Yeah, primarily. They call it perimeter shopping.
Yes.
And that's for a reason, because all of your healthy stuff is on the perimeters. So, you know, very seldom do we get anything within the aisles unless it's, you know, like spices or, you know, some of the low-calorie or calorie-free salad dressings or, you know, stuff like that. It's the only time we ever go in the aisles. The rest of the time is spent in the meat department and the produce section.
Man, just imagine if Lyle could be your health coach. I mean, just imagine if you had him on speed dial or in your text messages, and you could access conversation, wisdom, advice from him. Oh, it sure would be nice if he would do some health coaching, wouldn't it? I mean, just imagine you getting started at the beginning of June, and by late fall, you're down 50 pounds already. You know, I'm saying just imagine. I lived it and Lyle lived it. I hope at some point in this episode, I hope at some point we talk about the opportunity for Lyle to coach you. Have you ever walked down an aisle and just kind of just glanced at all this stuff as you're going down and thought to yourself, wow, I can't eat. I can't eat and I don't really want any of this stuff.
All the time. I found that throughout all of this, this is at least my own experience anyway, people eat primarily for three reasons. Number one, to celebrate. We've associated food with celebration. Number two, because we're depressed and we feed our depression. And number three, we're just bored. So, you know, when you're bored, what do? You go to the cupboard or the pantry and you break open a bag of Doritos and you eat the whole stinking bag just because we're bored. And what I've learned through all of this is, you know, we have to change the way that we think about food. I don't look at food as, you know, boredom or whatever anymore. I look at food and I say, how is that going to fuel me? You know, how's that going to make me feel later if I eat it? That's been the biggest transformation for me, I've just honestly changed the way that I think about food, and it doesn't control me anymore. You know, that's one of the marks of addictive behavior is, you know, do you control it or does it control you? And I can honestly say it does not control me anymore. It used to. A lot, but it doesn't control me anymore.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's awesome. And, you know, the reason you wanted to come on, the reason I wanted you to join me today is, and you said there's hope, is to give hope to, in this area, hopeless pastors. Mm-hmm. You know, in this area of health and fitness, hopeless pastors, because the dirty little secret that's not even so much a secret is that in America, in our society, People are just fine with their pastor eating themselves into an early grave. They're just, you know, they won't bother you about it. They're just fine. It's socially acceptable, and we've got to turn that around because it's not the abundant life.
I felt really bad about, you know, again, I was to the point to where not only did my knees hurt, but you know, I was struggling with my own self-worth, and you know, I neglected to put my faith in Jesus Christ and rely on him to get, you know, to change. Here I was standing on a stage telling people that they needed to make life changes, and I'm the fat pastor. What kind of witness is that? You know, what kind of a man of God can I call myself if that's the case? And I really, you know, I really had to come to that realization, and it was tough. It was a hard mirror to look into. You know, again, on the flip side now, I'm on the backside of almost 80 pounds gone. And I can tell you, man, it was absolutely true. It's made all the difference in the world, both physically and spiritually and emotionally. And my church leadership has noticed the big difference in my own leadership. All the people in the church have noticed a change in me. It's noticeable all the way around. So, you know, it's made all the difference in the world for me.
So, Lyle, are you willing to coach some pastors as well who may want to have another pastor who's gone through it coach them?
I would be more than happy to do that. You know, for me, I know it helped. That was the biggest motivation for me to do it, was just seeing the fact that you had gone through that, and that, you know, ministry is one of those animals that is a completely different one. Man, it's a whole different species than any other job. And unless you're in it, you really don't understand. So trust me, I understand where pastors are. You know, especially pastors of smaller churches that, you know, it's, again, that's a, it's a whole different animal when you're talking about ministering in a smaller church. There's just a whole different subset of challenges that goes along with that. So, you know, it's not any better or worse than any other kind of ministry. It's just different. So having a unique understanding of that, I can relate to where you are. If you're listening to this right now and you find yourself in a position of, you know, where I was, you know, overweight, depressed, your knees hurt, there's hope. There really is hope. And I could tell you, I'm the poster child for the fact that there really is hope. You don't have to live this way any longer. You really can make a change. It really can happen. And you can start now.
That's awesome. And Lyle, where they're going to be able to find you is if they go to coachingforpastors.org. Right at the top of the page, they're going to see your picture, and there's going to be a button that says, I want Lyle to coach me. Click on that button, fill out the form, and you and Lyle can get connected. I have been coaching pastors now for well over a year, and I do that as well. But right now, Lyle, I want to push pastors to you because I've watched you from the beginning until now, and you aren't Superman. You're
nope.
Just like any other pastor, and you have done it. There have been several of you that have done it, but you've decided that you want to help others as well, and you're wired to do that. And I'd love to see you be able to help pastors. So, coachingforpastors.org. Just click the button. And let me say this. When you click on that, there's going to be a form for you to fill out. This is not real long. It's just basically contact information and that you would like to get connected to Lyle. Let me encourage you, if you're hopeless and you're ready for a change in your life, then go to coachingforpastors.org and click on that. But if you're not serious and you're just kind of, you know, skimming around the edges about this, then I want to say this kindly, but don't bother, right? Don't bother,
yeah.
Because it's no fun for us to chase, and we're not chasers of people. We've got plenty to do. Lyle, you've got plenty to do. I've got plenty mm-hmm. to do in ministry, and we're not salespeople, right? We're not trying to sell a product. We genuinely, and I'm honestly a very poor salesman. The people that are involved in this program, that are involved in it because they want to make make a good living off of it, they also they're doing it for people, but they also have to incorporate good sales practice and hard work in that area in order to gain clients. And what I like about this is I believe in the program. The program is a lifestyle, a life change program. It's not a quick fix. So however you go about helping people, like, I'm all for it. But I know for you and me, Lyle, we're pastors. Our first mm-hmm. calling is to our ministry.
Yep.
But we want to help pastors. So if you're just wondering about it, we're not going to have a whole lot of time to wonder with you. But if you're serious and you're kind of hopeless and you're just like, I just need somebody to help me do this, and I want to do it. I'm ready to do it. And honestly, I found that pastors, 40, 50-something pastors in their 40s and 50s,
yeah,
you know, our youth is a little bit, you know, our 20 and 30-something youth is behind us, and we're knowing that it's physically is not going to get any easier from here. And if we don't make a lifestyle change, we're just going to be suffering with this. We're just going to keep doing the same thing year after year. You want to say something? Go ahead.
Yeah. So let me speak into that just for a second. I'm 46 years old, so I'm right there. And you know, I've been in ministry for 22 years. I got to the point to where, you know, again, my knees hurt, aches and pains. I had to have neck surgery about a year and a half ago to fuse four vertebrae in my neck together. And, you know, it was hard, man. That was a hard thing for me to go through. But with being kind of on the backside of this, I can tell you my blood pressure then was pushing needing medication. Every time I'd go to the doctor, it was pushing like 137 over 85.
Yeah.
Every time. And now, I actually just had blood work done a few weeks ago, and my blood pressure then, it is now 112 over 70. And the nurse looked at me and she goes, "Well, aren't you just a picture perfect healthy person now?" I said, "Well, I'm getting there."
Yeah, that's awesome. And so truly, in the long run, getting healthier saves you money.
Oh gosh,
you're not
yes.
paying, yeah, all this healthcare related stuff that you're not having to deal with.
Yeah, I mean, and that's I wasn't quite to the point where I was having to take medications yet, but I knew that I was a ticking time bomb, and you know there was going to come a time where I was going to end up a diabetic on blood pressure medicine, and I mean I knew that was coming, and I just did not want to allow myself to get to that point. So I mean that would be my encouragement. You know, we don't make a whole lot of money anyway. I mean, you know, pastors just don't make a whole lot of money. So why on earth would I want to send myself on a trajectory where I'm going to have to end up spending a whole lot of money on medications for myself? You know, I don't want to get to that point. So for me, it just made a lot more sense, you know, even from a monetary standpoint. Hey, let's invest in my health now, so that I don't have to spend a gazillion dollars in the future just trying to keep myself alive.
Pastor, I want to encourage you, again, if you're hopeless, there's hope. There really is hope. And if you're serious and you're ready to pull the trigger and to make a change and to make that commitment and jump in, this is, Lyle and I can tell you, and so many thousands, tens of thousands of others, that this is a great program to jump into. It is the cornerstone of it is that it's not a quick fix. It's a healthy lifestyle. It focuses on proper nutrition and food as fuel, and it focuses on relationships and people building into others. And it's basically a personal development organization, because we get better as we learn how to improve ourselves physically and emotionally and mentally. It's all part of the game. The book that we share, Lyle, you've got it, I've got it. You know, it talks about not just nutrition, but fitness and movement and sleep and stress management and mm-hmm. relationships. It talks about hydration. It talks about the exercise that gets done kind of behind the scenes. Mm-hmm. If you just tweak a few things in your life, you know, the little stuff that over time that builds into good consequences. And then it talks about the major types of exercise. It's called The Habits of Health, and it's phenomenal. It's
yeah.
phenomenal. It's,
yeah.
it's just wonderful. So there you go. Coachingforpastors.org. And Lyle, you will take it from there, and they'll give you their phone number, their email address, and I don't know how you're going to decide to contact them, but I'm going to leave that up to you. But if you give Lyle your phone number, expect that Lyle just might give you a call and say hello.
Absolutely. Yeah, however you want to do it, if you're more comfortable with email, phone calls, text messaging works as well. Just leave your contact info, and man, I'll be happy to get in touch with you, and we can make a change in your life. It is possible, I promise.
So less than 7 months, you're down 77 pounds.
Mm-hmm.
This is May, so we're talking about Christmas time. If somebody did what you did, so this is going to be live on May 20th. If somebody started by the end of the month, started by June 1st, 7 months is going to take them right up to New Year's. They
yeah.
could actually lose 50 to 60 to 70 pounds by New Year's?
Yeah, that's completely doable. And I will say there is a little incentive to get on board with this before the end of the month. I'll just leave it at that. All right?
So that's right. That's right. I forgot about that. See, that's where I'm not a good business person for health coaching. But they are. The cool thing is, it's just, in short, it's the pandemic. And there's a lot of people that are hurting right now, and they know that a lot of people want to get healthy, and a lot of people are home and they're trying to get healthy. They've got a little bit more time for fitness, and they're trying to cook their own food and not eat out and eat better. And so they've taken, this is the first time in a year and a half that I've been associated with this organization that they've done a sale, because this group is kind of like Apple. Their stuff doesn't go on sale because it's such high quality. It's so good. But right now, they've offered a sale for, I think it was a month or 5 or 6 weeks this has been going for, but they put it to the end of May.
Yeah, they've extended it through the end of May. So, and it's a pretty steep discount too. I mean, I was honestly a little jealous, but but I'm happy that, you know, more people get to get on board with making themselves healthy. So,
Lyle, thank you for being on the podcast with me today. I hope that people take you up on this offer, and that I hope you're able to help other pastors just like you've been helped.
It's been my pleasure to talk to you, Jeff. You know, I appreciate your leadership in all this too. I know the podcast over the past couple of years has been a real blessing to me in a lot of aspects of ministry, and you know, this has been no different. This has been a great journey to embark on, and I look forward to the opportunity to help as many people as absolutely want to get on the same journey that I went on. And I'll just be honest with you, I'm still on the journey. I've still got about 15 more pounds to go before I'm where I want to be. So, you know, I'm there with you. I'm still journeying along there with you. So, you know that if you want to have me as a coach, I'm not going to do something or take you somewhere that I haven't been myself.
There you have it, Pastor. Now is a great time. It's a great time of year. If you're ready to go, you're ready to get healthy, you're ready to make a life change, do it. Do it. Don't ever look back, and you'll always be grateful. Go to coachingforpastors.org, and we'll see you next week on the 200 Churches podcast.